Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
I had a 7-year relationship in the 90s.
Okay.
That I was trying to get out of for the last 3 years.
Ryan McGee, no segue. He, of course, of ESPN and Marty and McGee, NASCAR and college football and so many other things. Honor and a pleasure to have him join us. And I believe you are you not, Ryan? Are you in the city of Athens as we speak?
I got here 10 minutes ago. So you're you know what, coming into a town like you own it. Y'all know I'm a professional. I show no favorites when I'm covering an event.
Yeah.
But I did graduate from Tennessee. And so I drive a really red pickup truck, but it has a little orange T in the back window. And so I know that I rolled into town like I owned it, and I also got flipped off everywhere I went. So I figured, All right, it must be game with him.
Where are you going to park this car with the orange T over the course of the weekend? Does the company help you with that?
Why in the world would I disclose that information to you on the radio right now, knowing that there's a few dog people listening and maybe can will come looking for me? No, it's I love coming to Athens, but it's the one. It's one of the few SEC stops that I live in Charlotte that I drive to as opposed to fly. And every year when I leave the house, my wife says, good luck. So, yeah.
Are you,
Ryan, why the red truck? Why not dark mode? Why not smoky gray? Maybe a nice white? Tennessee's going to be wearing the road whites and the orange pants tomorrow?
No, because listen, you guys know I cover NASCAR. There's nothing cooler than a red vehicle. I don't care who your team is, right? I mean, it's now I have the speeding tickets to prove it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
My pickup truck's been very red. This is my third Ram, and they've all been very red. So yeah.
When your
truck is red, I think that also means your neck might be red. So I mean,
hold on. But is this now verified that red vehicles truly is somebody truly documented this? I've heard this for years. Is that a fact?
100%. No, 100%. In fact, I know for a fact that a lot of race car drivers will not own red cars because they drive very fast anyway. But, if you watch, you look at the road, most of the cars are gray, they're black, they're white, and, navy blue. And if you watch, you can see it. It's the eye test, right? It's like the college football playoff committee. When you're driving down the road, somebody's pulled over. There's a pretty good chance that that vehicle is a very bright color.
Yeah, last red vehicle I owned, a 1987 Mazda RX-7 Turbo. That was a long time ago.
Come on. What are you talking? Hey, you didn't listen to any Van Halen in that, did you, by any chance?
Yes, Van Halen, of course, Sammy Hagar.
Were they still making the rotary engine with the choke that you pulled out to make sure that it actually warmed
up a little
bit?
It was a rotary engine.
Because I had the 85 Mazda RX-7 that had a choke on it, where living in New Jersey, if you wanted it to start. Now, Ryan, you would know the other thing you had to do is you had to take cement bags, not like made cement yet, but bags and put them in the back because those cars weighed about 8 pounds.
Oh, yeah. No, again, we're getting back to my NASCAR roots, You got to hide weight in the frame rails and all that stuff. No, that thing, if you didn't, that thing was so fast, you'd put weight on it, it'd take off like a spaceship.
I was not allowed to go on the Tappan Zee Bridge one time because it was too windy. They actually stopped me at the Tappan Zee Bridge and said, no, that one's not going to go on the bridge. That was a first and a last that same time. So I will ask you honestly, when you looked at the schedule in August, let's say, and you saw Tennessee, Georgia in Athens the first week of November, what did you think this would be, not could be, what did you think this would be?
What I saw, if you're following this trajectory that Tennessee looked like it might be on, which is so far ahead of schedule than anything anyone could have predicted, including Josh Heupel, don't let anybody tell you that everybody saw this coming. No one saw this coming. What I saw originally on the schedule was a measuring stick game, a chance to see where Tennessee is during this current rebuild versus, the gold standard. And that's the defending national champions and a team that's loaded and everybody knows how good they are. And so, this was the role that Georgia found itself in when it was playing Alabama in the SEC championship game, which was a measuring stick game. And the questions were thrown to Josh Heupel about the measuring stick. And this was leading to the Alabama game. And he kind of bristled a little bit. And he didn't do that. And then the same leading to the Georgia game. So to me, I thought this was going to be a great measuring stick of, all right, where is the Tennessee program? It still is. It just also, by the way, happens to have giant stakes attached to it that I don't think, again, anyone tells you, I think that people could have argued that maybe it would impact the SEC East race. But I don't think anyone could have told you that it could possibly will impact, the college football playoff championship race, because it does.
Ryan, obviously there's been so much written and said about this Tennessee offense, but what really jumped out at me in the victory over Kentucky was the defense. The Wildcats had 149 yards at halftime. At the end of the third quarter, they had 155. The third quarter started with back-to-back sacks of Will Levis. The third down defense for Tennessee was outstanding. Kentucky was a good team on third down, converting 43% of its third down attempts. Will Levis completing 80% of his passes on those third downs. Yet the Wildcats started out 1 of 11 on third down. Tell us about the Tennessee's defense and the progress they've made over the course of the season.
They've gotten, quietly have gotten really good. And, you know, what the Tennessee defense, what really the Tennessee roster doesn't have that Georgia has, that Clemson, that Ohio State, you know, that Alabama, to me, it's those four teams have recruited at a level no one else has. They don't have the depth that Georgia does. But their first 22 are really good. You know, the criticism of Josh Heupel as a coach, and this goes back to the UCF days when they would win, but they'd win 52-45, is that the defense on the field too long. And what you've seen as the year has gone on is that, you know, first of all, Tennessee's time of possession has improved a little bit. They still don't win time of possession, but at least keeping the ball a little bit longer, giving that defense a chance to catch a breath. But the big thing is that defense is conditioned. You know, they're used to being out on the football field. The UCF used to lose games even back when they were winning double-digit games every year because guys were grabbing knees in the third and fourth quarter on defense because they've been on the field so long. These Tennessee guys were doing that in the first month, and now they've kind of gone against conventional football. They look good, you know, in the second half of these games in late October and now headed into November. So, yeah, I think that if you go back and watch Kirby Smart's press conferences from this week, both of them, Monday and Wednesday, and he talked as much about the Tennessee defense as did the offense. And that, you talk about something you didn't see coming, that's certainly not a conversation I think anybody thought they'd be having.
What kind of swing, Tillman coming back, Smith being out, what does that do big picture for this game?
Well, it's always interesting kind of reintegrating guys who were going to be a big part of it and then weren't. And then them coming back in. But what I like so much about the Tennessee roster is, you know, yes, they have Hendon Hooker. Yes, they have Cedric. Yes, they have guys who are stars. But it's as strong a team mentality as I've been around. It really shocked me. The morning of the Alabama game, we did Marty McGee and SEC Nation from Knoxville a couple weeks ago before the Alabama game. And what struck me being around the team is felt like a team. You know, and all these guys are doing being told how great they are. So that's a really long way of saying they're going to be fine. You know, I think they can plug and play because they trust the talent, you know, in the locker room, and they trust each other.
Tell me about Josh Heupel, because I saw post-game against Alabama, and he doesn't look like central casting, but he might be perfect for him stating that Tennessee is back or him. Big smile on his face. I saw the smile on his face when he found out they were number one. There wasn't another guy who could have been number one who'd be smiling about being number one. There seems to be something about, again, I don't know how sustainable it is, but he seems to be the right guy, right place in a lot of different ways. Am I reading too much into that, or does it sort of all fit?
No, it totally fits. And the reason it fits, his EKG never leaves level. Like, he'll smile, and then he'll go back to his regular look. Or he'll frown, and he'll go back to his regular look. And the team feeds off of that. The morning of that Alabama game, I chatted with him after he'd been on SEC Nation. He had his shirt tail out. His pants weren't pressed. He looked like he was going to teach. He's like a TA going to teach a chemistry class. Or maybe he's going to coach the spring game. And the team feeds off of that. And when you're trying to handle, you know, this rocket curve, this amazing, you know, season they're having, where you go from not even in the top 25 to being number one, and you've finally beaten Alabama and finally beaten Florida, and, you know, got a chance to finally beat Georgia. But the team stays, they maintain an even strain, right? And that starts with Heupel. And And then Hooker feeds off of that. That's kind of how his personality is. So, yeah, it feels like right guy at the right time. And, yeah, I keep waiting on all my in-laws and college roommates who were screaming at me back in, January a couple of years ago, who the hell is Josh Heupel? And now, they're all wanting to wear Josh Heupel T-shirts. So, quick shout-out to those folks who all thought it was a terrible hire.
ESPN's Ryan McGee of the Marty and McGee Show joining us, Sports Radio 680, The Fan in Atlanta. You mentioned Cedric Tillman and him coming back for the Vols, 10 receptions, 200 yards in this game last year against Georgia. But the guy that has really stepped up since the injury is Jalin Hyatt from South Carolina. He's been in the program for a while, 45 receptions, 907 yards, 14 touchdowns, lead the nation. And that's a Tennessee record. And, Ryan, when I think back to my day, Willie Gault, Tim McGee, yep. Carl Perkins, Anthony Hancock, even Joshua Palmer, who we're going to see with the Chargers here in Atlanta on Sunday, that's pretty rarefied air to be the all-time touchdown reception leader in a season for Tennessee.
Yeah, and listen, when I was in school, and I'm dating myself, mm-hmm. I was in school with Alvin Harper and wow. Carl Pickens mm-hmm. and Anthony Morgan and all these yeah. guys that played in the NFL forever. And so, yeah, Tennessee had a really strong argument in the 80s and 90s as wide receiver university. And yeah, when you any receiving record that you set, and obviously in this offense you're gonna set some, is a big deal. But I live in Charlotte, and I got a lot of friends that live down in the Columbia area, and Irmo, where Jalen's from, and they were all saying when he decided he was going to Tennessee, I had a lot of friends that cover high school football in South Carolina going, he has a chance to be special. And it took a couple of years, and now he's in that system. And, he's a huge benefit of what looked like a tough situation. And, man, there's nothing better, no matter who your team is, than these guys that you discover. Hendon Hooker, I would put him in that category. These guys that you discover. In fact, my buddy Chris Lowe at ESPN.com has a great story up on ESPN.com today. And it's about he calls them the cast-offs. There's this team of cast-offs at Tennessee, and guys that didn't. Hendon Hooker really didn't fit in anywhere. Virginia Tech didn't know what to do with him, and now he's got a chance to win a Heisman Trophy. And Jalin Hyatt, when he was given the opportunity, made himself a folk hero in Tennessee.
Can I just do this though? I'll see your two guys you just mentioned, and I'll Stetson Bennett you, and I'll go. I'll win every day because there's never been a better poster boy for that story.
It's one of the greatest stories that I've covered since I've been getting paid to go to football games, and that's a long time. And I've told Stetson that, but it's just, it's when you wait and you wait and you leave and you come back and it just looks like it's not going to happen. And so when it happens, it's something else. And that's why no matter what happens toward the end of this year, no matter what he does the rest of his life, Stetson Bennett, the fourth, he of the country club name, will never have to buy lunch, a drink, or both in Athens, Georgia the rest of his life.
Ryan, getting back to Hooker and Hyatt, it seems like they run the same play every time, which is basically a two-man fast break at a linebacker or a safety. And if the defender makes the wrong guess on which way the break is going to be or is late reacting to that break, seems like Hyatt's open all day long. What can Georgia do, maybe not to take that away from Tennessee, but to cover Hyatt more effectively than he's been guarded this season?
Well, and then the first part of that to me is also apply pressure to Hooker. That's the part of it, quite frankly, that has surprised me maybe most about this team is, he gets rid of the ball quickly. And, you're exactly right. It helps when Hyatt feels like he's open all the time. But, it's also applying pressure to the quarterback. And that's obviously something that Georgia is really, really good at and something that Will Muschamp is really, really good at coaching. And so that's, to me, I've been a little surprised this week that I haven't heard more of that, which is the importance of, maybe being the first team this year to apply consistent pressure on Hendon Hooker this year, because the reality is going into the season, I don't think that offensive line is something you would have circled as a giant strength at Tennessee.
Yeah.
And the reality is they've looked great, with the exception of a couple of plays in that Alabama game. And, by the way, Alabama's really good at chasing quarterbacks, best player in the country maybe, Will Anderson. That it really hasn't been a factor. Going into the year, I was like, if they can keep Hendon Hooker upright – then, he can make plays. And I said that thinking they wouldn't be able to do it, and, man, they have. And it helps, by the way, when you're upright and high it's open. So, but I would say the trenches is where it starts. You got to apply pressure up front, Because the reality is, Hyatt's going to get open. That's just what he does.
I'm not a head-hunting type guy. I don't believe it in baseball. I don't believe it in football. But we had Roman Harper on, and I believed this for a long time. I want to find out what you're going to be made of after I hit you. Maybe twice.
Yeah.
And whether that's coming across the middle or the quarterback standing in the pocket, because, you know, it's the infamous boxing analogy. Everybody's got a plan to get punched in the face. Well, if you don't get punched in the face, life is a little bit easier over the course of 60 minutes.
Hey, all right, hang on 1 second. I'll yell across the room. Harper! They're telling me how smart you are. And he just gave me the double thumbs up. Like, yeah,
he'll
I'm
tell
smart.
You. Yeah, I know. He'll tell you. Yeah.
Well, and that's somebody who knows a little something about sending that message and seeing. And he and I have talked about it all the time about the importance of, you're exactly right. You don't want to be a headhunter. You don't want to hurt anybody. But what you want to do is you want to sting them just enough to see how they bounce back. And you know immediately if they're going to do it. And you're exactly right. And again, it goes back to that level EKG, and it's Josh Heupel and it's Hendon Hooker. And, you know, if your heartbeat stays the same and your body temperature stays the same, and even while you're under duress, then, you know, the other guy probably have a chance.
All right, let's run through a couple of things very quickly. It's a loaded question. But is there anything like this in the NFL, what we're going to see tomorrow afternoon? And there's a reason I ask. Do you believe anything like this game, this matchup, how people are talking about it, investment, emotion, do you think there's anything like this in the NFL?
I mean, full disclosure, I'm not an NFL guy. I'm just not. You know, and maybe it's because of where I grew up in the world. I remember when I first went to work at ESPN 25 years ago, right out of college, and I was shocked that everybody was spending their Saturday not talking about, you know, Clemson, Georgia Tech. They were talking about the Jets and the Patriots. And it just wasn't on my radar as a kid. And so I love watching athletes perform at the highest level possible. And the NFL is that more than any other professional sports league in the world. They're the greatest athletes on planet Earth. I love watching the guys that I covered in college when they go off to the NFL. But all of this is my way of saying no.
I'm from NFL country.
Right.
And I'm telling you Saturdays are better than Sundays. The reason I ask a guy like you in particular is I kind of know what the answer is, but I even believe guys who do this job for a living, whether it's me on an AM radio station in Atlanta, whether it's you doing here, I don't believe you can muster up fake NFL enthusiasm for an extended period of time when I know that Saturday enthusiasm, it's like lighting a fuse. And it usually doesn't happen Saturday morning. It happens before that because of the emotion that's attached to colleges, universities, and all of the pomp and circumstance, plus the possibility of upsets that exist as opposed to Sundays.
It's your identity. I mean, it really is. I mean, it is, you know, your alma mater is your alma mater. Or if it's your grandfather, where your grandfather played football. Or it's just, Marty Smith, my coworker, he did not go to Virginia Tech. But he was raised going to Virginia Tech games on Saturday afternoons with his father when Virginia Tech was terrible. And so you're emotionally invested. And so to me, that's what it is. And I'm not saying that you're not about an NFL team. I respect them. I love going to the class. I love going to Lambeau Field. I love going to these big new modern stadiums. It's great, but it's just different. The atmosphere is different. I fell in love with this sport. My father, you guys probably know this, was a college football official for 40 years. We wrote a book about it. And my first sideline credentials, I was 12. And I remember looking around. It was North Carolina at Virginia. I remember looking around that day and thinking, all of these people on the sideline, these reporters, these photographers, the guys pulling the chains, everyone's getting paid to be here today. How in the hell do I get to do that? Because it was the most exciting atmosphere I had ever been immersed in. And, you know, don't tell anybody, guys, but, you know, they send checks to the house, and I get to go to these games. And it's just because I love it. So, yeah, it's just, to answer your question, it's just there's a – it is in your blood. It is in your DNA, and it's, you know, where you went to school and the school you identify with and the state that you live in, all of these things are tied into why people are so passionate about it. And that's the difference. It's just it's a 365-day-a-year passion, and that's why I love it.
Final question for me, Ryan, and it's something that neither fan base wants to think of, but obviously you've probably thought a couple of moves ahead. Tennessee loses this game today or tomorrow. What's their path forward as far as the Natty? Georgia loses this game. What's their path forward to repeat?
I think the loser of this game still, if your only loss is this game in a 1-2 or 1-3 matchup, whichever poll you're looking at, but if your only loss is this game and it's a good game, you know, if it's a close game, if you get blown out by 6 touchdowns, that's one thing. But if it's the game that we all think we're going to see, even if you lose by a couple of scores, then by the time we get to December and it's time to decide the 4 teams that have a chance to play for a national championship, I don't think you're penalized by that. You know, I'm still sticking with Oregon. I don't think that Oregon will be penalized come December if they run the table and win the SEC or win the Pac-12 and their only loss is in Atlanta to the defending national champions in a game where it was the first game their head coach had ever coached as head coach. I think you can still lose one game, but you can't lose two.
Yeah, so, and Ryan, the other part is what makes college different is then if I lose a close one, I'm hoping Ohio State or Michigan, one of them kicks the crap out of the other one. I'm hoping Notre Dame beats Clemson. There are things that happen that put you in a better place as well, and that's the round robin of college football that exists as well.
Yeah, and listen, I think the college playoff expansion was inevitable, but I also really like 4. I didn't in the beginning, but I've come around because to me, I love that aspect of it right there, which is, you know, if you're a Georgia fan, you're pulling for Oregon. You want Oregon to win the Pac-12 because there's nothing that's going to help your strength of schedule better than that. Or, you know, exactly right. You know, now if Tennessee were to beat Georgia tomorrow, then Georgia suddenly becomes, you know, the biggest Vanderbilt fans in the world, you know, or whoever Tennessee's playing toward the end, and vice versa. So, yeah, you have to pay attention to what's happening everywhere else in the country because it affects what you do if you're in the race. And
all
so,
right,
yeah,
Ryan,
it's I love it.
Where can people actually find you guys? You guys are – is it public tomorrow? I think I know where you're going to be, by the Collections Library. Are you guys sort of inviting people out?
Yes, absolutely we are. We're at the Collections Library. I'm literally looking at the set right now. I love this location. But, yeah, come out and see us. And I know College Game Day is here too. But you know, we're more fun than they are. I'll say it. And so come on out and see us. And listen, you're our people, right? You know, these carpetbaggers coming into SEC Network territory, that's fine. But we're here all the time. Come on down here and see us, and we'll have a good time. And, yeah, Marty and McGee will kick it off at 9 a.m. Come on out, and if y'all know anything about Marty Smith and myself, we don't take ourselves too seriously. And, oh, by the way, Kirby Smart's coming to see us tomorrow about 9:15, so come out for that.
Who would more likely have alcohol? Game day, I think, isn't a little bit too stuffy to believe that at 9 o'clock, 9:15, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I mean, I don't know what you're allowed to say and what you're not, but I do think if I'm a drinker, I think I know which one I'm moseying over to.
I will tell you this. That Marty and I do our show from 9 to 10, and then we do SEC Nation from 10 to 12, and they always send either one of the two of us or both of us out into the tailgates. And I can tell you, this is week 10, and I have consumed alcohol live on television at least 6 times this year. So, yeah. So that might be all you need to know.
That's 600.
Yeah, I don't see Herb Street actually grabbing a tailgate drink. He's got a job to do. I get it. But I think it's just a different job is what we're doing.
And I know David Pollock is a son of the area, and he's a dog. But all he does is drink, like, hand-milled, you know, oat milkshakes, you know, that he bought at the GNC.
We worked with him. I watched him eat sticks and berries for 3 years.
No, mine is in a red Solo cup. So I'll see y'all. If anybody wants to join Marty and I for that tomorrow morning, come on out to the Collections Library.
All right. Ryan, really appreciate it. Enjoy your stay here. Hope the truck is okay over the course of the weekend as well.
I appreciate that, guys. Thanks.
All right. Ryan McGee.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand.
Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.